This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Go back to school, but here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus, and I believe you almost all are here, if not everybody online, or you're thinking about it, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're a student. You're a disciple, and that means you're a learner of Jesus, that you are here to learn from Jesus, not just about Jesus. That's a big difference, to learn about Jesus or to learn from Jesus. And so we're always going back to school, right? We're always diving into school and go, okay, God, what do you want me to learn today? What are you teaching today? Because Jesus is a teacher, right? Throughout Scripture, you would see this. His friends would call him teacher, rabbi. His enemies would call him teacher, because they recognize he had that in him, and he never stopped being a teacher. He continues to teach us today. And there's three things, just kind of as we get going into this, three things to think about that God always wants to teach us. So at any moment, he's going to teach you one of these three things. And here's the first one. He's always going to teach us how to have a relationship with him. That's his number one thing with us. He wants us to know how to know him. To know him in a loving relationship with him, how to have this relationship that goes beyond just knowing about God, but knowing God and having this walk with him. He's going to teach you in part of that who he is, right? Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and how he's a counselor, and how he's a provider, and how he is holy, and how he works in our world, and how he is a miracle worker. And he's going to teach you those things in order to have a relationship with him. But he's also going to teach us who we are, right? Created in the image of God, but also sinful people who need to be forgiven, who need grace and mercy in order to have this relationship with him. And he's going to teach us how to pray so we can talk to him. This is so important to him. He wants to spend time with us. So he's going to teach you how to pray. And he's going to push you sometimes. And he's going to teach you how to trust him in really difficult situations, because that's what the relationship is based on, is faith and trust. So he's always teaching you that. And so I hope you came today ready to learn, how can I have a better, closer relationship with God? I hope you would spend every day going, this is what God wants me to know, how to have a better relationship. Second thing he's going to teach us is how to live for him. You are created for a purpose. You know that, right? You woke up today and go, God, I'm here for a reason. I'm still here for a reason. What is it? What is it today? Why do you have me here? What did you give me today to do to accomplish in your mission? What's your purpose? What's my calling? Because your calling will change my season. You're going, God, what do you call me to do today? How can I serve you? And why am I here? And what gifts, talents, and abilities do I have that I can use for serving you? And so he's going to be teaching those things to you every single day. Every single day he's going to be teaching those things to you because he's a teacher. Third thing that he wants you to know is how to have abundant life. And this is important to him. How to have an abundant life on the inside. How to have that fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control that gives you an abundant life. You wake up in the day and you can experience joy. And he wants you to know how to do that and how to have peace when the world is crumbling all around you and how to have self-control, how to make good choices in life. He is constantly teaching us those things. And he wants you to be content. And he wants you to have good relationships. And we're going to be looking at those three things. But just know that all three inform one another. In other words, they all work together. He's building your relationship with him as he's teaching you how to have abundant life. He's teaching you how to live for him. At the same time, he's teaching you how to understand that's where your fulfillment will come from and not from what the world does. So they all inform each other, and they all do this. They all give glory to God. So as you're learning from him, as you're growing in him, as you're becoming more like his son, it brings glory to God. And so constantly, we are learners. And if you stop learning, you stop living. You will learn up until the last day if you have a soft heart and you're just willing to say, God, teach me today. So I hope that's kind of the attitude we have today. Okay, we're back to school. We're always back to school. But even right now at this moment, God, teach me something. Get Patrick out of the way and teach me something so I can learn from you. In this series, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. It's a great chapter for teaching. It's really built on a father teaching his son. But think about this, your holy father is wanting to teach you. He just wants to sit down and go, let's go over some stuff. Let's tell you some things. Let me tell you some things about life and how to make decisions and how to deal with finances and how to take those relationships that you have and make them even better. and how to live every single day and how to find peace and prosperity in the way he defines prosperity. And so we're going to look at those over the next few weeks. You're going to become an expert at Proverbs chapter 3, okay? That's the goal, an expert at Proverbs 3, so you can sit down with someone and say, let me tell you what God taught me from his word. This is what it is, and this is cool stuff, because the God of the universe wants to bend down and say, let me teach you something. Today, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, but I want to give you context. We're going to read 1 through 12 and go back to 1 and 2. You guys ready to get into God's word? Let's do that. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, hear from God, my son or my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And one of my all-time favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as the father in the son in whom he delights. My son, my daughter, do not forget my teaching. In verse 1, if we go back to that, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let's stop and pray. Father God, as we look at your word, just open it up and we receive it. May we know it. May we live it. And we just want to hear your voice today. Just teach us who you are. Teach us how to live for you. And teach us, Father, how to have that abundant life that we find in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. If we look at that first verse and the second verse, this is really where we're going to start. And we just kind of want to say, okay, God, what do you want to teach us today? And he starts off by saying, don't forget my teaching. All right? So the opposite of that is remember it, right? Keep it, know it. And the word teaching there is a Hebrew word, you know it, probably the word Torah. You've heard the word Torah, right? And normally it's referred to as the law. Normally it's referred to as the first five books, but it's just the teachings of God. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to cast. Like if you've ever cast out seed, if you guys done your seeding of your yard, you're going to wait till the fall when it's time to do that. You just broadcast it, right? You just throw it out there, and it takes root, and it begins to grow. And God does that with his teaching. That every time he's teaching you, it's like a seed of something going into your heart and go, okay, I'm supposed to learn right now through this circumstance, through this verse I'm reading, through what I'm hearing, through what I'm experiencing. God is teaching me and he's casting it out, and it's up to us to let it grow. It's up to us to let it germinate and take root and become something of value. And he says, constantly doing that. He says, don't forget it. Let it seep in. Become that good kind of soil to let it grow. So he's constantly teaching us. That's what he does all the time. He says, but I just don't want you to forget it. I want you to know it. You ever like learn something and it went one ear and out the other? And you ever done that before and you forget it? Like you've gotten up in the day and you're starting to do something, you forget why you're doing it. You ever done that before? Or if you're getting older, you walk into a room and go, I don't know why I'm here. I just came in here and now I forgot what I'm doing. You guys have all had that, right? And if you're younger, you've done something similar to that. Go, I don't even know what I was doing just now. I don't even know what I was saying. It ever happened to you? You start a conversation and go, I was talking about something. I don't remember what it was and where I was going with that. And you're waiting to hear and you're waiting to hear. Well, we forget. And God says, look, I don't want you to forget my word, though. Don't forget my teaching. Let it come back to you. Let it grow inside of you. And not only do I want you to learn it, I want you to keep it. Now, the word keep there, when he says, I want you to keep my commandments, the word natsor, it's a Hebrew word. It means to guard. It means to guard it, to put it in your heart and guard it. Like you have a treasure inside and you're going to stand outside and you're going to guard that treasure. You're not going to let it go away. You're not letting anybody come and take it away from you. November 21st, 1996, off the coast of North Carolina in the Beaufort Inlet, which is just off of Beaufort, North Carolina, these divers went down, and they had a suspicion they were going to find something. And they went down in the water, and it wasn't real deep. They found a cannonball and a cannon. And they pulled it up into a boat, and they began to look at it, and there was all this stuff on the seafloor, and they kept going back and pulling more stuff up. They secured it and went back to their laboratory, and they determined that they had found Blackbeard's ship, the Queen Anne's Revenge. And so they went back the next day, and they found more stuff. No treasure. There was no treasure there, except for what they found was a type of treasure. And every day they would go back, and what they didn't do is they didn't tell people where it was. They didn't tell people it's at these coordinates. If you go out there, you can find it. And they were very careful about how they went there. They'd go different ways to get there so no one could follow them because they knew that people would come and take it. And so every day they went back to learn more and gain more knowledge. One of the things they discovered, and I didn't know this, was that the Queen Anne's Revenge was only a pirate ship for a couple of years. It was really a ship called the La Concorde. It was a slave ship. And on the slave ship, over the course of several years, they brought over 1,200 slaves to America. And they began to understand there was a story here that was bigger than a pirate ship. Everybody gets excited about pirates, but there's something you need to know and we need to know about our history, is that some of these boats were used to bring people under bondage to our country. And they began to see that each one of those people had a story. A story we should never forget. To be able to look back at things and go, we need to learn from that, to never repeat that again, to never go back there again, to learn how to say this was wrong and how this has punished people and how this is a bad part of our history because we don't ever want to repeat that again. We want to move forward. And so they began to pull up more and more stuff. Over 400,000 items they pulled up, and they have a display that you can go see. And they'll tell the story of the La Concorde, this boat that was a slave ship and a pirate ship, and the evil that was part of that story. When you look at God's word, and here's the deal, when he talks about Torah, it's talking about God's word, the written word of God, which is a treasure that we're to keep. And in the written word of God, you and I will find stories of people who did evil things, who did the wrong thing, and we'll see the sin in ourselves. We'll begin to learn, I am a sinner just like them, and I don't want to forget these lessons. The scriptures say, how does a young person keep their way pure? It's by keeping the commands of God. And we look at that, how do I keep my way pure? How do I live for God? How do I live a righteous life? It's by keeping his commands. And by learning from my past and the past of others, the devastation of sin. And we need to keep that so that we can have a good relationship with the Lord and have that right relationship with him, that holy relationship, that sanctified relationship that makes us close to him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer of this book in the New Testament says this about the word of God. He says, the word of God is living. Do you ever think about that? It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Today, people are at the beach, right? And they're reading books of some kind, probably, you know. Some people take books to the beach, and they have these books have been saving up for a vacation. Maybe you read books over the summer. Maybe you read them throughout. But they're reading these books, and there's nothing wrong with the books, but they're not alive. They're not active. When the Word of God is in your heart, it's active and alive, and it kind of dives down to who we really are, and it says, look, this is who you think you are, but this is who you really are. And when we read things, it begins to convict us. It begins to show us new things. And if we allow God to teach us, he can change us and transform us into the people we need to be. I think of an example like this, and this is one of those object lessons. I have about a 40% confidence this is actually going to work. So 60% it's not. So you're either going to walk away with a TikTok video that you can show the people epic fails in church, or it's going to work, and you go, that was cute, okay? So those are your two choices. But this is a kid's gyroscope. Did anybody ever have one of these when you were a kid? Okay, if you didn't and you really want to experience it after service, you can play with this, and I'll let you do it. But the basic idea is this: it's a spinner within a top, and here we go. We're going to try this. Oh, it worked. Okay, so the idea of a gyroscope, I'm not going to do anything fancy. I'll put it in my hand. It kind of stays there. But this one's just cool because as it spins, and as I try to move it, it fights me. You ever done that before? It's so cool. It's like it wants to stay level, but as I turn it that way, it pushes against me the whole time. And I have to hold it like this in order for it to stay right. But when I turn it, it forces it back. It wants to be like this. Now, right now, on ships all over the world, they have a gyroscope that keeps them going in the right direction. Right now, above our heads in the satellites, there are gyroscopes in three different dimensions that are turning really fast, spinning to keep the spaceship going in the right direction. Gyroscopes have a navigational quality to them to keep whatever it is heading in the right direction. This is a toy. It won't keep much of anything heading the right direction, but you can feel it. You can feel it when it turns. And the Word of God, when it's active in your life, when it's actually spinning in your life and it's alive, it will do the same thing. When you want to head in the wrong direction, it begins to pull you back. When you want to make the wrong choice, it begins to push against that. You feel convicted. You feel this isn't right. When you say the wrong thing, you go, I just said the wrong thing. And God uses His Word just like a gyroscope in your life with the Holy Spirit working. That's how God works in your life. On sabbatication, I went to several different churches. I had a great time. I got to see a lot of different things, big church, small church, medium-sized church. And I will tell you this. I was going to one church in our community, a friend of mine's church, and I had gotten dressed, and my family was coming here. So I got in the car. I started down the road, and I could feel a pull in my life, and I couldn't get it. I didn't understand it, so I would go down the road, and I'm going, I'm supposed to go home. Now, some of you felt this way today, and you're home watching online. I'm not talking about that. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, go home. And I thought, well, I'm ready to go to church. And it was like, well, go home. And I went home. I tried to follow. I go, what does this mean? So I put on a service online. It was Andy Stanley's church, North Point. And I kind of, when I got there, I said, I'm supposed to watch this maybe to learn how to do online better. Because in my mind, that's what I do, right? I'm constantly learning to grow how to do church, how to do church online. So I'm watching this thing online. And I'm going, okay, they do that. That was cool. They did that. That was cool. And I like the way they started this. But I didn't know that God wanted to teach me. You're like, you go into this, I'm going to decide what I'm going to learn. And God says, no, I got something for you to learn. And so the whole series, I watched one, was called Reactions Speak Louder Than Words. And he was talking about how much we really believe what we say we believe. How much of God's word do we really believe that we say we believe? And he says, your reactions will show you how much you really believe what you believe. And I go, that makes sense, right? I say I believe. I say that I understand God's word. I say I'm living it out, but do I really? And then he uses the example of a verse that you all know and I know, Romans 8:28. You know this verse, right? How does the verse go? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And he pointed out all things. Do I believe that all things work together for good? Do I believe God's word? Do I believe the Torah of God? When he casts that out, it's not just for me to hear, it's for me to live. Do I truly believe that? And in the course of that message, I was going, I don't think I do. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where something bad happened? You get mad and get upset? You ever done this before? Have you ever said words in your head that you wouldn't say out of your mouth? Have you ever done that before? And some of you, it's come out of your mouth. You go, where did that come from, right? And you're going, I don't see how anything good could come out of this. Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me. And at that moment, the word of God is not active in me. And I need to learn. God's going to teach me. He's going to take me back to school. So what did God do? He took me back to school. You know, I did a lot of hiking over the vacation. And I got back from one hike. I'm resting. And I'm just laying around doing nothing because I was tired. And my mother-in-law, Sherry, came up. She lives in our basement apartment. I always say I live in our basement. People think it's like a prison. It's a nice apartment, okay? And she comes up and she goes, the basement's flooded. And that's not what you want to hear when you're on sabbatication, right? The basement's flooded, and I'm tired, and I go, okay, what is it? I thought there would be a puddle, right? There wasn't a puddle. There was a lake down there, and it was like covering the part where the HVAC system was, and it flowed underneath the wall into her laundry room, and water everywhere. And what had happened is it's humid here. Did you guys know that it's humid in this part of the country? It's really humid here, and so like the HVAC system was doing what it's supposed to do. It's pulling the water out of the air and make it comfortable, but it was supposed to be pumped into a basin, and it wasn't pumping. It was dripping into the pan. You have a catch pan below, right? And the catch pan was full of water. You could sail boats on it, right? And then it overflowed into the rest of the basement under the thing. And so here's a mess. I'm looking at the mess. And in my mind, right, outside I'm fine. Out in my mind I'm going, how are we going to fix this, right? Who's going to pay for that? That was my next thing. Where's the money going to come from? And how are we going to get this thing done? And I don't know, you know, how to tackle this thing. And why isn't the pump working? Whose fault is the pump? And I'm getting upset. But I'm not saying it out loud, but inside, I'm not thinking God's going to make this good. I'm going, God, what did you do? I was away. You didn't take care of it. It's a mess. And so I'm down there with buckets, you know, because you can't get the shop back to work with all this water. So I'm dumping all this. And the whole time I'm talking to God, God, what happened? How are you going to pay for this, God? It's your house. And so we're dumping the water and using the shop back, getting it out, moving stuff out. And stuff is ruined, right? When the basement gets flooded, you store things down there that shouldn't be in water because of the basement. And the things that are full of water are trashed. And go, okay, it's trash. It's all gone. And so I'm just wrestling with God. God, where are you? And I'd forgotten this verse. You ever done that before? God, you're going to work this for good? Really? So what time do you think this happened? After 5, right? When do you get sick? On Friday after 5, you get sick. Ever happen with the children? They're sick at 5:01. You can't go to the doctor. When do things break? After 5 o'clock. You can't call anybody. So I went online, and it's a Thursday, and I go, okay, I got to get somebody here. Type it in Tuesday. We'll come Tuesday. Well, that's too late. And then I thought, well, I'm going to call the guy who installed it. He's a Christian. He has his own company. I'm just going to call him. So I called and left a message. He texted me back. I'll be there tomorrow. That's awesome. So I canceled the Tuesday thing. He's going to come Thursday, next day, Friday. So he's coming. He said, I'll come in the morning. So we're doing something, and we hear this noise on the street, right, this loud car noise coming up the street. And Stacy goes, do you think the HVAC guy would be driving a small white sports car? God, I've never seen that before. Normally they come in trucks and vans, right? Well, and it's making all this racket. So I went out there. I hadn't seen him for 6 years. And he had installed our thing. And I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, it's been a summer. I go, what happened? He goes, well, my van that I normally take got T-boned and it smashed. I'm waiting for the insurance because that car's gone. Then my other van got smashed too, and that car's gone. And then one of our employees was driving the truck and he burned all the oil out and it's gone too. And this is my son's car. And there's no headlights and there's no front bumper or back bumper. It's in process, right? And there's something underneath that died because it's making all this racket. And he goes, this is what I've got. I said, okay, I hope you can fix this thing. So he came with me and looked at it. He goes, oh, what happened was the pump got clogged, and the emergency pump that, like, supposed to shut everything off when it fills up with water, it got clogged. This is an easy fix. So he went to his little sports car, pulled out his tool bag, which took up the whole trunk of this car, and for 2 hours he worked, and at the end of the time, he was done. We paid him, cleaned everything out. Now we have a clean basement. The junk is gone. And then he got blessed because he got paid for a job that he didn't need a lot of tools for that would go toward what he's doing. And God's like sitting me down and go, I'm casting seeds of teaching to you right now. Are you getting it? Are you learning this? All things work together for good. Not everything's this simple. I understand that. But all things work together for good. This has worked together for good. I gave you the money in advance so you could pay him because he needed money. So we're both blessed. We're all blessed. But at the moment, my reaction spoke louder than words. Ever happened to you? See, you know when God's word is working your life because your life is different. Your attitude is different. When you walk into a problem, you go, my God's got this. I don't have to learn it anymore. I know what he's going to do. When you're in a relationship and it's not working, you go, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to pray for my enemies and love. I know because God's word is active and working in my life. That's what God's word is supposed to do. And God is going to teach you that as long as you follow Jesus. Always. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this time from the Amplified Version, you'll see verse 1's not much different. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. But verse 2 is different. And what the Amplified does is it takes it and defines the words in multiple words instead of one or two. It says this, for length of days and years of life worth living. Worth living. And tranquility and prosperity, the wholeness of life's blessings, they will add to you. This is the abundant life that God wants to teach you. When God's word is active in your life and you love it, and you can ask yourself right now, do I really love God's word, or would I rather read something else? Would I rather fall back on my opinion, or am I really hungry to hear from God? Do I really dive into his word? When we really want to learn, then you live a life worth living, and you will have tranquility, which means peace. You'll have a peace about you because God's word is active. And you'll prosper. Now, the word prosperity there is not in the original. He said in this amplified version, it's the wholeness of life's blessings. When you're living out God's word, you will have this relationship with God that you'll be blessed. You don't mean you're going to be rich. You're going to have a rich life, though, which is much more valuable than just things like money. When you really and I really just hang on to God's teaching, our lives will be different and be full of peace and prosperity. And that's what he wants for us. What we did for you today to kind of help you is you should have gotten a little thing like this. If not, you'll pick it up on the way outside. It has back to school on it. But the cool thing is on the other side, there are seven verses. We're calling this 7 × 7 × 7. 7 days, 7 verses, 7 times each. If you want to just get God's word into your heart a little bit differently, a little bit deeper, you want to keep it there, guard it, protect it, live it, experience it, then what we're going to ask you to do is just a verse a day, and we're going to send this out as a push notification through our app as well, a verse a day and read it 7 times that day. So like tomorrow, John 16:33, it says this, Jesus' promise, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You're going to have problems. I wish I could say you're not going to. Wouldn't that be nice? But you're going to have problems. You're going to have tribulation, but here's the deal. Jesus has overcome it. Do you believe it? When you watch the news, do you believe you're going to have tribulation? Yes. Do you believe Jesus has overcome it? Yes. You're going to get a bad phone call. You're going to have a problem. Do you believe Jesus is going to overcome it? Yes. Your car is going to break down. Do you believe you're going to have problems? Yes. Do you believe God is going to overcome it? Yes. That's what it's designed to do. So what we're going to ask you to do is read it once, check off a box. Read it out loud so you can hear it. Get off by yourself so other people don't have to hear, you know, or maybe we do it as a family. Read it again 7 times. Nothing magical about 7. It's just throughout Scripture. But let's do that. And each day a different verse. Each one of these is a promise from God. And at the end of the week, see what God's doing in your life. And say every time you read it, God, teach me. God, teach me something new about you, how to have a relationship with you. Teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to live the abundant life that you have for me. To take that, it's a tool to learn from Jesus. Jesus said 2 things, I want to end with this, about the word that I think is so key as we follow Jesus. He said this, first of all, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You want to know how deep your relationship is with Jesus? It's when we stop like just asking him for all this stuff, which, you know, keep asking. But when we also say, I want to obey you. I know your word. I want to live it out today. I want to love you through obedience. Grow in that area. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus is the word. It's how we experience him through our love for him. Suddenly he told was a story. We actually sang this, which is always cool. You can go back and listen for the lyrics if you want. But the idea that Jesus said it there in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, look, you're going to run into a storm. And there's 2 people. One of them built his house on sand. His own opinions, his own thoughts, what the world told him, what he learned in regular school. He built his house on that. And the storm came and his house fell. And great was its fall. The other person had similar problems, but their life was built on the rock of God's word. They obeyed it, they kept it, they lived it, they loved it, and they didn't fall apart when the storm came. If you know Jesus, let's love him through knowing and doing his word, and let's experience the life even in life's problems that he has for us. If you don't know Jesus, here's the deal. He says, I am here for you. I'm going to give my life for you. I just want you to give your life to me and take up your cross and follow me. It's a decision that we make. So probably most people in here, maybe online, you've already made the decision to follow Jesus. Just do it a little bit deeper this week by getting a little deeper in his word. If you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Just say, Jesus, I want to walk with you because I want that relationship. I'm tired of doing life on my own. So wherever you are, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. It's a treasure. Your word is a treasure written down so we won't forget it. Some of it's over 4,000 years old. The rest of it's over 2,000 years old now. But it's timeless. It speaks to us right where we are. And we thank you for the promises of your word. And may we live them out. May we love you by obedience. Father, we pray for those that maybe haven't committed their life to you and haven't experienced the joy and the freedom that we experience through forgiveness and mercy and grace and your son's death on the cross. May they take that commitment now, just saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. And for those of us who know Jesus, teach us. Every moment, teach us. We're ready to learn. We're your students. We're your disciples. We're your followers. We want to be more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Today, we're going to be doing communion. We do it every week. It's an object lesson, right? It's an object lesson that Jesus set up for us to come and learn from him and to learn about him in the sacrifice that he made for us. It's something we do, right? Every week we do it to remember and to learn. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, Jesus speaking, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. I mean, you're tired, right? You're tired. And I will give you rest. You've got a burden that you're carrying. And he says, take my yoke upon you. The yoke of a teacher was their teachings. He says, take my teachings upon you, what you've learned from me, and learn from me. I want to teach you, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So whatever burden you have today, I want you to ask you to come and just kind of leave it on the table as you pick up the elements. And as also as part of our church family, many of you know that one of our founding elders, Roy, died last night. And it was special. It was special to know Roy and Peggy. Bridges wouldn't exist. But in that moment with him, I got to spend some time with him yesterday. And to know he's gone to be with the Lord is just a huge comfort, right? Isn't that a huge, I mean, I've been with people who died before and you just go, okay, it's difficult, it's hard. But when someone knows the Lord, you go, okay, I can come before the Lord and I can give him this. And I know that Roy is seeing Jesus face to face. In some ways, we should be envious, right? He gets to see Jesus right now and he's without pain, without torment, all that stuff is gone, and we grieve with Peggy, we grieve with the family, and I hope that you'll grieve with them, and we're going to support them. When I find out more, I'll let you know what the service is going to be, but for right now, Roy is in the presence of Jesus, and he's at rest, and he's experienced it firsthand. The rest of us are here on this earth, and we're going, okay, here is my burden, I'm grieving. It's okay to grieve, it's okay to cry, it's okay to be hurt, because we love, and we're in a sinful, broken world where death is a part of it. At the same time, we have this joy. This joy that, okay, I have something to look forward to. And Jesus says, come, bring that to me. Bring your grief. Bring your brokenness. Lay it down here. And let me teach you about this moment, about you and your relationship with me and where you're going to be one day. And to see the world differently instead of just this 70, 80, 90 years we get to live in this world, whatever it may be, instead seeing it for eternity. That's Jesus' perspective. Is use this moment and learn from me about what's real and what's important and what I'm about and what you can experience. So let's pray together. And then if you're burdened about anything at all, come and leave it at the table and take Jesus back with you. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray for Peggy. I pray for the Seymour family. I pray for his sisters and his son, Mark. And I just lift them up to you. I thank you for Roy's just incredible, incredible example and testimony over the years. He did communion for year after year, so it's kind of appropriate that this is the time we remember he and Peggy, and just thank you for that relationship they had and and the joy they experienced. And thank you for the joy that we have. He's with you. And maybe that doesn't sink in with us. Some of us were wondering, maybe it's just the door closes, lights go off, and that's all there is. But no, no, your word tells us there's a future and a hope. There is eternity that you put into our hearts, and Roy's experienced that now. And I pray for us as we come, and we might be burdened by different things, sadness, grief for them, our own burdens, our own brokenness, and we just come up and leave it at the table. Leave it at the table, and we take Jesus back with us. And we're so grateful for him and the hope we have in him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Come up and experience communion together as the body of Christ.